A very good afternoon to everybody. Welcome to the second YEG of the year. And this afternoon is my privilege to just lead us in a time of singing and reflection. How did your 2026 begin? It's been 10 days. 10 days. This morning, I spoke to somebody who is a teacher and asked her, how? She said, it feels like week 5. I think for the rest of us who are not teachers as well, it feels very tiring. I reflect on the year, and I remember how my 2026 began literally. It began with a text from my helper, who's taking care of my dad, at 12:43. So people were outside Orchard Road, countdown! Then old people don't count down, eh? Old people just go and sleep. So I was preparing to go to bed. And at 12:43, I got this text from my helper. My father stays just next door in the condo next door. And it says, she said, good morning. And she calls him Ye Ye. Ye Ye, okay, pardon the English. Okay, Ye Ye not feel good now. So this was 12:43. My first text of the year. So I called. I called and I then came down to see him. And my father was not feeling well. He was in pain. He always had an urge to go to the toilet, but he could not pass urine. He also always said that he needed to pass motion, but nothing came out. So I thought he was just delirious and told him to sleep. But he was in tremendous pain, and his abdomen was like huge. It looked like it was going to explode. So by 1:16, my brother texted, and I said, after that, I told him, Dad is not feeling well. I'm sending him to a 24-hour clinic. After which, the doctor said, I cannot help you. So we sent him to the A&E. And every minute, he would say, I need to go toilet. I need to go toilet. I need to go toilet. It was because his urine couldn't be passed out and it accumulated in his bladder. So you just imagine having the urge to go to the toilet all the time and with no relief. So to cut a long story short, my first morning of 2026 ended with him having a catheter being inserted. And 1 liter of urine. So the doctor kept saying, you know, the bladder can only contain 500 mils. So he, 1 liter of urine came out and there was relief and he could rest. And by the time we brought him home, it was 5:30 in the morning. You know, I reflected on that and asked myself, wow, is this what this year is going to look like? I was apprehensive and concerned, you know. And as I sat through last week's YEG message, and Pastor Mark was exhorting us to really not look at the things that are uncertain or the challenges that are ahead, but really just to be thankful that we have life. And I look at my father, and the concern really is, my father is 87 this year. The concern is actually what will the year hold for him. But this past week, church conducted 3 funerals. And I myself attended one more, the father of my colleague. And he was 86, which is my father's age. And Auntie Nancy's father was also 86, you know, and I looked at the overall scheme of things and taking heed to the message, really then I looked at my father and I'm just thankful for life. I'm just thankful for life. I'm thankful that on Thursday, he would come for SSP and then he could have a grouchy look. This is my dear father. It's such a, I must ask my helper to take nicer photos. Because the verse says, bless the Lord. Oh my soul. You know, and really I'm just thankful for life. You know, I don't know what you think your 2026 is going to hold for you. You know, but I really appreciate the message last week. Especially the one about being nice to your wife and appreciate your wife, yes. But apart from that, really about, you know, it says here, go eat your bread with joy, drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white and let your head lack no oil. And then towards the end of verse 9, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. You know, and the recurring word from Pastor Mark last week was, don't focus on the things that you can't control or think you need to have in order to find joy, but appreciate what we have and fundamentally, even the basic things of life. You know, 2026 promises to be an exhilarating ride. Every year promises to be an exhilarating ride. But we can always find joy because we have the Lord who walks with us. You know, as we begin, I thought I'd sing this song, Rejoice. It's a delightful song. And it reminds us always, always to praise the Lord. You know, before, I assume we all know this song. Before we sing this, let me just point you to the chorus. We are going to have some audience participation. We're all very boring here at YEG. So at the chorus, at appropriate times, you know when to clap, right? Can, the winner can clap, right? Can, okay. At SSS1, when we sing this, we cannot clap because it affects our neighbors. Yeah, so clap at appropriate times. Those who don't know when to clap, when other people clap, you clap. Not delayed, though. Yeah, so let's just sing this song together. Rejoice.
Thank you, wife. Always a joy to have her lead us in worship. And truly our joy to be able to serve alongside each other, being able to minister together. Well, let's pray and then we can continue our study of Ecclesiastes. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you that we can praise you in all seasons of life. Recognize that even as we begin the year, we pray that you just continue to give us the insight and knowledge of your word to guide us and help us, Lord, especially through difficult questions in life. We pray that you just continue to enlighten us. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes, and we are in chapter 9 now. So let me just say that this book that is written by Solomon, it is very much his views and perspective of life. Some of these views can be very personal and very human in that sense. And sometimes we raise the question as to whether these views, while very personal, from the heart, yet at the same time, we find that there seem to be certain things that are lacking. So that's something that we want to bear in mind as we study this book, Ecclesiastes. So Chinky has already reviewed a little bit of what we studied last week, and we talked about how we ought to not be so hung up on the things that we don't have, but rather to be thankful of what we already have and the things that we can hope in. So we talked about life, we talked about, you know, the blessings, even being able to feel that we are alive as compared to someone who has died. There's a big difference. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that also. To be able to enjoy bread and drink, and these are very common things of life, and sometimes we take these things for granted, right? And of course, Chinky also mentioned verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, right? A lot of the guys came out to me and said, wow, you know, this is something that I'm trying to do. And very interestingly, some of the ladies, even in the discussion groups, kept using this word. You know, wow, always get triggered, right? I get triggered. One or two or even three ladies kept saying, wow, you know, yes, we try and get along and that's something which is good, but sometimes I get triggered. Well, we understand that, right? But let's continue to live joyfully. I think that's important, right? And we talked about the portion, that this is your portion in life. So let's go on to verse 10. Now, the first part has to do with work, right? What is our perspective of work? And Solomon gives his observation. So what you see in Ecclesiastes are things that he observed in life, and he has a opinion concerning it, but sometimes it lacks the spiritual dimension. So while we study this text, we also want to be able to look at the spiritual dimension along the way. Okay? So he says here in verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So he does this again. He makes comparison between those who are living and those who have gone to the grave, right? And it should challenge us to appreciate life and to appreciate the work that God has given to us. Now, sometimes we recognize that work can be challenging, difficult, there are problems, there are colleagues, there are bosses to deal with, but you have work. And somehow, you are given that work. And we ought to do it with a heart of appreciation and to do it with all our might. Look at the manner in which Solomon is raising this, right? He says, whatever your hand finds to do, right? That you can find work at all. That's important, especially in this day of age. Things can be difficult. I've heard a number of people who have been laid off and it's hard to find a job. And the other day, I was just having a discussion about AI. And because of AI, many jobs are being replaced. And that's a challenge, right? And there was this article that said there are certain jobs will not be threatened by AI. And right on top is the occupation of being a teacher. So all the teachers, your job is safe. The other one is a pastor. Okay, so with much relief, I'm actually quite happy about that, right? I don't think you want AI to be teaching you the Lord's word, right? But anyway, we recognize there are going to be challenges, right? But yet, at the same time, whatever work that you find to do, do it with all your might. Do it with your heart. Do it as one in which you recognize you've been entrusted this work for one reason or another, and we ought to do it with our might, right? And it always stands out when you come across a job that is not easy, but yet this person can do it with a great sense of joy, you know, that stands out even more. So there was once when I was sitting in a Grab, and, you know, once I got in, this man who was driving, he was just so joyful. He talked to me, he was telling me things, and he was laughing along the way. He was just very, very joyful. I mean, I couldn't remember what he was talking about, but all I remember was he was just very joyful. And along the way, he would say, oh, you know, this is such a wonderful day to be driving along the road and so on and so forth. So it was just amazing to come across such a Grab driver. Most of the time, they would just say, hello, and then that's it. That's the last of it. And they would say, okay, thank you, goodbye. Right? Most times, the drivers are like that. But if you can find that joy to be able to do what you do, even though it can be challenging, now that is going to be interesting. Why? Because, and Solomon goes on to say, what, right? Do it with all your might, for there is no work or device all knowledge, all wisdom in the grave. And that's so true. Once you are gone, you're gone. Right? Yes, you don't have to work anymore. But it just shows that, you know, that's it. Life ceases. And there's no knowledge, no wisdom, no nothing. Again, he makes a comparison between the living and the dead. And while we are still living, we should really appreciate what we are doing, even in the context of work. Now, this is Solomon's perspective. And he's just making observations, and he sees these things, and he writes about it. But yet, we recognize that the spiritual angle is a little bit lacking here. So in order for us to do this, we need to go to Colossians. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And it's a famous verse, but I think we need to understand that in this context to appreciate what it means for us to do work or to do anything. So in verse 23, we read, "And whatever you do," right? Whatever work you find yourself doing, "do it heartily, as to the Lord." Now, you notice this is something that is lacking in Solomon's perspective. You do it heartily. Now, the word heartily here, in the Greek, what it really means is that it is from the psuche, which is the soul. It is from the soul. You do it as from the soul. And that's why it's translated as heartily. If you can do this work or you whatever it is that you find yourself doing, you do it heartily. You do it from the soul. Now, that's not easy to do, right? We recognize that oftentimes when we go to work or we do anything that is not easy or pretty challenging, it's hard to do it with the heart or with the soul. But yet, this is what Paul is writing about. This is Paul's perspective about work. Paul's perspective about what we ought to do or how we should do it. We do it as to the Lord. Right? Meaning, let's just say you begin a day. Okay, Gabe, what time do you begin work? Or let's say on Monday. Huh? 8 o'clock. Anybody work later? Most of you work at 8 o'clock? Or some earlier? Teachers earlier, right? 7:30? 8 o'clock? Who works later? Anybody? What time? Much, much later. What kind of work you do? Sorry. Part-time or flexible work. Okay, flexible. 9 o'clock? So whatever, right? You work at 9 o'clock and then you find yourself, okay, I got a whole day ahead. I got this, I got meetings to attend. I got work to do. I got appointments to meet. I got to meet my clients and so on and so forth. Okay, how do you apply that? That I would do it heartily as to the Lord. Now, I recognize that sometimes we begin the day, we pray, we ask the Lord to give us grace and mercy, you know, strength for the day. And then when we go into the workplace, what we prayed and all somehow leaves, you know, our mind and our understanding. And then it's very difficult. We struggle through, we find it very difficult. Got to talk to my boss, got to talk to my colleagues, and so on and so forth. Right? Try. Right? Before you start work, okay, I'm going to do this heartily as to the Lord. So the key thing is that it's as to the Lord, right? Not to men. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. So another perspective. Whatever it is that you're doing, you do it as a service to the Lord. So don't just see it as work. See it as to the Lord. See it as, this is my service to the Lord. Whatever it is you're doing, you need to do calculations because you're an accountant. You need to teach the children. So I was just asking someone just now who is a teacher, how was your week? Oh, I'm so tired. You know. Then I say, oh, but we're going to study this today. oh, I thank the Lord, but then I need to go and sleep, you know? I'm just so tired. Well, we understand that, right? And yet, can we learn? Can we change our perspective? Can we take a different view of work? Can we say that? Can we learn to do it as to the Lord? Okay, what do you think? Do you think this is something that can be done? Okay, let's discuss along, because we are not going to go into a discussion group. It means a bit more time to interact with you and to think this through. Okay.
Yes, Pastor Mark, I think for me specifically, I think it's doable.
Even
Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, yes. I think is very appropriate for me. Because
for you, right? Because
as
you
a
work
physio
with your hands,
and
that's
a pianist,
right,
yeah. It's
very
all
good
my
application.
Hands.
Right, very good. Okay, tell us a bit about it.
So, I mean, the physical part of my work requires a lot of my hands, right?
Yes, correct.
But I think what helps is that a lot of my work is also helping people.
Yes.
So it's very easy for me to seek to do this heartily because it's something I enjoy doing.
Yes.
And see very direct meaning to what I'm doing.
Yes.
Because you see the person in front of you getting better, and it's you know, you're able to help them immediately, directly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for me, it's the Lord is involved in everything that I attempt to do. In helping me to be able to figure out the things, to be able to help and all. So I feel that for me, with my work in particular, it's quite applicable.
Yeah.
And it's quite
And this is
direct.
How we ought to do our work, right? This is the spirit in which you do it. This is the perspective that you ought to do it. By the way, he's a physiotherapist, so that's why he uses his hands all the time. And because, as you say, you are a people person, you relate with them. Okay, let's ask Angela. What do you think, Angela? You also use your hands to type and stuff like that.
yes. I mean, I don't think my job directly has the direct as the direct consequence of helping people or what. It's not really same as Gabe's.
Yeah.
But I still. I think the challenge for me is to find balance in work in terms of like how much do you put in, how much effort do you put in. Because, I mean, for me, doing things heartily as to the Lord or like doing my work well is not something that I struggle with in terms of not finding myself or dragging myself to work, that kind of thing. That's not the issue. It's more of how much do you want to put in at work and how much do you want to go at work, how far do you want to go at work?
Yep.
And I think that's where the balance of like having a bigger picture of knowing that work is not all there is, and that there are other aspects of life that
so
work is a means to an end in another way.
So you're talking about balance, right?
Yeah, sure.
I think that's important too.
Because I think like service to the Lord is also not just work your day-to-day job, but it's also in other aspects of your life.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. So whatever it is that you do.
Yeah, definitely.
And we just want to be able to have that sense of consciousness that this is what we seek to do in our lives. Yeah, I think that's very important too, that we find a good balance between whatever it is that we seek to do, whether it's work, whether it is family, whether it's service to the Lord. Let's learn to do it as to the Lord. And I think that's very important. Okay, good. I think this is important. Now, let's go on to something a little bit more challenging. And this is where we come to verse 11. Okay, in verse 11, we read, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Okay, this is something a little bit more challenging. How do we understand this idea of time and chance? Okay? Now, it says here, or this is what Solomon wrote, the race is not to the swift. Now, of course, usually we will tend to think what is normal, what is expected. The person who is fastest will win the race, That is to be expected. But we also recognize that oftentimes that may not be so. Right? Classic fable is the hare and the turtle, right? The hare is much faster than the turtle, but finally, it is the turtle that wins. For one reason or another. And that is the reality of life. Right? Victory in battle is not always won by the strongest, right? And so a team can be far stronger, but can still lose, right? That's what's happening to Manchester United. If any of you follow football, actually, they are not very strong lah, in the first place. But they always say, oh, today the better team lost. And they always say that. And that's why they keep losing or draw or anything like that. But that's the reality. Reality is that there will be times in which unexpected things will happen. Right? Bread is not always given to the wise, riches to men of understanding. Most times, a man of understanding would be rich because he is so much wiser than most people. Now, this is something that you will see next Saturday. We're going to talk about something again, an application of this. Interesting scenario, right? So noise doesn't mean that you are the wisest, that you also become the richest. Favor to men of skill. You can be very skilled and so on, but you can be sidelined, right? You may be the smartest person, you may be the most qualified, you may be the most skilled, but your boss just doesn't like your face, you will still be sidelined. That is a reality of life. And it's something that we all see. Favor is not always given to men of skill. Right? So how do we understand this? How do we understand this time and chance? Right? Things and circumstances can change very quickly. So, again, we talk about this idea of what is unexpected, right? What is uncertain? And we talked about this idea of the vagaries of life. This is what life is all about. So you will always think that a baby born would live and live to a ripe old age. That is to be expected. That is normal. But as what Chinky mentioned this week, we had to bury a baby. And she's only 16 days here. And that's the reality of life. It was very, very difficult. Very, very difficult for the parents. Very difficult for the family. But yet, this is the reality of life. How do we see these things? And if we were to just look at life and try and figure things out, you will find yourself in a fix because there are no easy answers. Time and chance. You look at time and chance. There are times in which things will go for you, favor is given, but sometimes they are not. That's the reality of life. So Solomon, once again, looks at life. He sees things. He observes what's happening. Yet, at the same time, he recognizes, okay, this is what I've come to appreciate and understand. The unexpected uncertainties of life, the vagaries of life will be there. Doesn't mean that you are stronger, you're wiser, you are better, you're more skilled, you will always be on top. Doesn't happen all the time. Okay, Alistair, what do you think? Let's discuss for a while.
I think it reminds me that as much as we try and plan and control things in life.
Yeah, okay. That, you talk about plan. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
And because you think that because I'm strong, because I'm better, things will turn out the way it is. And
yes.
Then you realize that
yep.
you're not in control. And then and that's where I guess faith comes into picture. And
sorry,
to realize faith comes into the picture.
Yeah.
To know that ultimately it's God who's in control and God who's sovereign over things in life. And it reminds us also of our place in life also, that our place in life.
Yeah,
like,
correct.
That ultimately God is the one who controls and the one who reigns in our lives.
Yeah. So this part here has to do with what life is, right? And we all tend to focus on this. You're right. We want to bring in faith. And we want to bring in our place, as in we want to bring in God, right? But yet, we still go back to this. Honestly, candidly, frankly, that's how we feel. You're right. We all talk about faith. We all talk about God. But when something like this happens, this is the challenge. And we recognize that it's not going to be easy. And it really much depends on this. Okay, let's look at Psalm 33. Since you brought out this idea of faith. Now, Pastor spoke at Down Memory Lane from Psalm 33. So I thought I'll make reference to that. So Psalm 33, we read in verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven, he sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. So Psalm 33 tells us about the sovereignty of God. Right? God looks and he sees. And you're right. He is in control. But can we submit to that? Therein lies the challenge. We understand this. We recognize this. We appreciate, yes, God is the one who is sovereign all things. He controls all things. He watches us. He has absolute power, hand over all things. But can we submit to that? Can we have the faith to actually believe that? Okay, one more passage. Psalm 134. Talking about how God has absolute control. So Psalm 135, verse 5. For I know that the Lord is great and our Lord is above all gods, assuming they are gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. Whatever God pleases, he does. Can we believe that? Whatever it is according to God's prerogative, it is according to God's will, it is according to God's pleasing, he does what he does. Whether it's on this earth, sea, land, anywhere, it is really up to him. Can we truly believe in the prerogative of God? Can we have that kind of faith in all things, in all places, in all circumstances? Can we believe? So you're right, Alistair. We need faith. The question is, can we really believe? You know, this week, so Chinky was sharing about how her week has been. This week, another challenge came about, and it was unexpected, but yet somewhat not so unexpected. But it was the extent to which this problem was. I'm not going to tell you what the problem is. So something has to do with, a situation that someone has created that is going to be very, very challenging. And it's personal. But it is something that, at the moment, I also don't know how to deal with it. there are legal issues, and so on and so forth. So I've been praying, Lord, grant your mercy, grant your grace, grant me wisdom. How do I address this issue? How can I help? Yet, at the same time, I know that the consequences are going to be significant. How do you deal with such a situation? And at the end of the day, we go back to God. It is what's going to happen. There are consequences. And can we still leave it to the Lord? Yes, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to pray. I'm going to see how things will develop. But yet, can we have that faith? Can we have that faith to believe and trust that all things, every single thing, right, that God does as He pleases? So, I'm not just sharing these things with you. I'm sharing it as I experience life's challenges and life's difficulties. So it's been an interesting start to the year. Didn't expect 2026 to be such, but it is. And it's been very sobering because we have a number of deaths in the context of our church. So this year has started on a very, very challenging note. But can we yet not have that faith and believe in God? And we must. We must have that kind of faith to believe and hope in God and beyond. Right? And then we come to verse 12. And verse 12, it says, "For man also does not know his time." Now, what is this time? "Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time." So the word evil time, or this phrase evil time, really is a reference to, again, the problems and troubles of life when it falls suddenly upon them. The thing about problems is that they tend to come suddenly. Right? It's like you discover and then, ta-da! Where did this come from, right? Things were pretty small, things were pretty good, and then it comes suddenly. So Solomon's observation is correct to some extent. Right? It is an evil time. Nobody looks forward to these kind of times. You rather not face them. You rather not have them in your life. Why can't we just live a very simple life and go on with our lives and la-di-da and things are good? But we also recognize that that's not real. We all want to have a smooth, accidentless life without problems and difficulties, but that's not real. Faith must be in the context of the reality of life. It does mean facing these things, and yet, can we not have the faith to believe? So here, part of the problem that is being raised by Solomon is, how do you see these times? Now you notice, he says, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time. You know what he's trying to say? He's trying to say that the problem that you face can be a trap. It can be a snare. And it will catch you. And it will imprison you. And you are stuck. And you don't know how to get out. And it becomes a problem that you are trapped by. So how? You don't want to end up beginning the year trapped with a problem. Yes, you are in some sense, because it is a problem that you have to face, but you don't want to end up being so ensnared by it that it affects you, and it affects you badly. That's not what we want. Yes, we will all face difficulties. That's what Solomon is trying to say here. But we need to go beyond. Right? We learned also from Psalm 33 that we need to break out of whatever barriers, whatever it is that holds us back, whatever it is that entraps us, we want to be able to break out. And we want to be able to have that kind of faith that looks to God. So again, what Solomon is saying is personal, is his observations, but we need a far more spiritual perspective. And that's where prayer comes in. Let's turn to Psalm 34. And Psalm 34 is a wonderful psalm that I'm sure you're familiar with, but how we need to be able to believe in what we read. And in Psalm 34, again, what it means, it starts off with blessing the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Right? But look at verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This week, we went to visit one of our church aunties. She is, having to deal with pneumonia. So she ended up in hospital. And she was struggling. At the same time, they also found out that she has some heart issues. So they needed to keep her a little bit longer. Even though the pneumonia has been addressed, they want to be able to see how they can help her with this heart issue. And she's way over 80 already. And it's difficult. And she was saying, you know, once you hit 80, wow, everything starts, breaking down. And you can see the it's challenge. It is such a great challenge to be older. But this was a verse that we shared with her, right? This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. Right? Sorry, in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Right? And then in verse 6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. We need to pray so much more. We need to take time to be with the Lord and to raise our concerns when we are faced with troubles, when we are entrapped, when we are stuck, and we don't know how to get out. And I can tell you this very honestly, I don't know how that this person is going to get out of this trouble, this problem. And it can just get worse and worse. Well, we pray. We pray and ask the Lord, Lord, you are the one that has to be involved. You are the one that has to save us in more ways than one. And then in verse 15, right? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Again, talking about the sovereignty of God. God looks upon men, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them and from the earth. Right? We look to the Lord. We look to God as one who sees, he knows your troubles, he sees your troubles, he sees the evil time that you're going through, and he's going to be there to listen and deliver accordingly. We need to pray. And my trust and assurance is really totally upon the Lord. Because I recognize that there's so much that we can do, there's so much that we can help, only the Lord can help. And we just want to be able to keep looking to the Lord. Really, in more ways than one. Okay, Davina, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think the knowledge of understanding the Lord's sovereignty is something that's not completely new.
Yeah.
But I think about what you said just now about submitting to the Lord,
yeah,
and committing everything to Him, not whether easy, it can right? be, yeah, whether it can be done every day,
yeah,
whether it's at work or at home or with family,
yeah,
it's hard. Yeah,
yes.
And it's always challenging because, yes, you can start the day with that mindset, but as the day goes by and the problems seem bigger than what it could actually be or what it is,
yes,
then the overwhelming feelings do come in. So
yes,
sometimes submission gets drowned out,
yes,
from our thoughts. And
yes,
I think that's the challenge which I personally face, and
yeah,
something that...
See, that's how the situation also entraps us, you see. Because after a while, you allow for these thoughts to come, and it before long, it will overwhelm. You're right. And it drowns out the focus that we ought to have. And we recognize that it's never easy. It's something that we all have to learn. And it comes with greater understanding. So you're right. It's not just about knowledge, you see. Yes, we have spoken about this a number of times already. But each time when we talk about it, there must be maybe a step forward. Maybe another way in which we can learn how we can overcome and face these challenges in a better way. Whether we can really grow our faith a little bit more. Whether we can actually learn what it means to look to God the way we ought to. And face these challenges. These challenges will come. And if you resolve one, or so-called one is, okay, over, right? Another will come. And it comes, and it comes. And we all need that kind of understanding and faith to really believe. Right? Elvi, what do you think? Any thoughts?
I think similar. Now, I think personally, in my own context now,
yeah,
the idea of things being very, I mean, unexpected things, uncertainties, is really a lot more in the context of caring for Katie.
Yeah.
Sometimes unexpected things can come, especially on the day-to-day where I'm alone with her. Sometimes it can bring a lot of uncertainties, also not knowing what she'll be like.
Yeah.
But yet also, I mean, all these to me are challenges.
Yeah,
to
sure,
care for her alone,
yeah,
are challenges. And yet, like what was mentioned, sometimes we know that many of these things are out of our control. How she will behave, how she'll be like, is out of our control. But the challenge is, how do we then apply faith in that? And to me, it's something that I need to learn to do now in this new role.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
And it's not easy,
yeah,
but every day just learning to trust also.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
So that's,
you're right. I mean, you don't know how things will turn out for your girl and how things will develop. But, you know, again, we entrust her back to the Lord. We learn what it means to pray. We learn what it means to look to God. We keep having that faith and trust to know that God is watching over us. You know, I absolutely believe that God watches over each and every one of us. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly how things are. And He's going to be there, giving us that grace and that mercy that we need. And especially through our problems, through our difficulties. The problem is, don't get entrapped by these things. Once you're entrapped, it becomes a fear. And the fears come. And anxiety comes. And all the worries come out there. And before you know it, wow, you're overwhelmed. We all struggle. You know, so we just had a teacher's retreat in the morning, last night and this morning. And we've been learning about Elijah. And even Elijah, he's the great prophet, had such a great victory over the prophets of Baal and everything else. He was strong, he seems okay. But all you need is one Jezebel, one woman, to say one thing, right? And of course, of other issues also, he runs away. And he says, Lord, take my life. We also recognize how vulnerable we can be. And we don't want to allow our minds, our hearts to be so caught up by these things. we want to be able to have the kind of faith to really say, okay, I really want to believe and I really want to be able to rise above all these things. Clement, what do you think? I haven't heard from you for a long time. I realize that you've been sitting, you're now sitting forward a bit more so I can ask you.
Because teacher Jinky asked us to move you.
Yeah, correct. Precisely the point. You should sit further up. Okay, great.
Actually, I had an interesting conversation with one of my patients this week. He was 47 and he got a stroke.
47 stroke?
Yeah, and he was asking me, I don't smoke, I don't drink. But I see all the coffee shop uncles taking beer every morning, smoking, and nothing happens to them.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought of
time and chance.
Exactly.
This is a reality of life, right?
Yeah, and I think he was.
You're right, and you know there was this Hollywood guy, and he smoked, and he lived to 100 years old. So how do you understand that? Well, somebody who doesn't smoke, and he gets lung cancer. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think it really goes back to what you were saying. I mean, he was really struggling with the fact that I do all these things, I put in the effort, and my life is supposed to turn out the way it is meant to turn out, you know, but it doesn't.
Absolutely.
It was a challenge to help him to understand that, you know, time and chance, but because he didn't know the Lord, it's hard for me to understand.
Correct.
To help him to understand. But I see the reality every day.
Yeah. And precisely, and you know, so we had three deaths. One was a baby, one was a man who was 62 years old. And he was, you know, looking at retirement, he's going to, you know, enjoy life. See, that's the thing, we work, and then we look forward to retirement, and then something happens. You ask yourself, what is that all about? How do we look at life? So it cannot be just about our plans. It cannot be just about having everything, you know, under our control, and because it just doesn't happen. That is the reality of life. So we need to look at this far more. We really need to look at faith. We really need to look at God. We really need to be able to have the kind of faith that would help us rise above these issues. I'm learning. You know, as I speak to you, as I learn alongside you guys, it is something that I'm also learning to practice, even struggling at times, but yet, so there's no point asking why. There's no point asking how come. No point. It is there, it's real, it is happening. So let's rise above these things. Let's learn to have the kind of faith to believe. And we are in it together. That's why we learn together. That's why we encourage each other. And we learn to be able to see how we can grow as a result. And so let's hope that 2026, it will be challenging. But let's really learn what it means to have the kind of growth and perspective of life that will help us face these realities. Okay, as I say, we are not going to go into our discussion groups. And I hope that you take a bit of time to fellowship together and really encourage each other. And let's learn to relate so much more and get to know some of our new friends. Okay? Well, let's pray and we can collect the offering. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for being our God. And oftentimes we may not have all the answers to life's unexpected events and circumstances, but we know that you're a God who is sovereign, you're a God who is in control, you're a God of grace and mercy. We pray that you will help us to learn to keep looking to you, keep trusting in you, keep having that faith to see things from your perspective, from Paul's perspective, from the psalmist's perspective, and really being able to pray to you and look to you. Lord, we recognize that these troubles can overwhelm at times, but help us, Lord, to draw nearer to you in these times, to pray to you, to draw closer to you, to find a closer walk with you, and to know that you are there with us. We pray that you will continue to bless us even as we enter into this year. We pray that you will bless this offering even as we give it for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.